ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the sixth chapter of the seventh canto. Today's text is 2, right? Yata hi purushasyeha vishnoho padopasarpanam yad esha sarva bhutanam priya atmeshvaraha surit yata hi purushasyeha Vishno padopasarpanam yadesha sarva bhutanam priya atmeshwaraksurit yatahi purushasyeha Vishno padopasarpanam yadesha sarva bhutanam Priya Atmeshwarak Surit Yatahi Purushasyeha Vishno Padopasarpanam Yadesha Sarva Bhutana Priya Atmeshwarak Surit Please chant Yatahi Purushasyeha Vishnu Pada Upasarpanam Yadisya Sarva Purusha Seha Vishnu Pada Upasarpanam Yadisya Sarva Bhutanam Priya Atmeshwarak Surit Yatahi Purushasyeha Vaishnavis Yatahi Purushasyeha Vishnu Padopasarpanam Yadesha Sarva Bhutanam Priya Atmeshwarak Surit Yatahi Purushasyeha Vishnu Padopasarpanam So, word meanings, yata, in order that, he, indeed, purushasya, of a living entity, iha, here, vishnoho, of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pada upasarpanam, approaching the lotus feet. Yat, because, eshaha, this, sarvabhutanam, of all living entities, priyaha, the dear one, atma ishvaraha, the master of the soul, the super soul. Surit, the best well-wisher and friend. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Please repeat. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 29, everybody knows this verse, Bhoktaram Yogitapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Kyatvamam Shantim Hrichati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, and a little English grammar mistake here, it says here attains peace, but if the noun is plural, sages, then there should be singular verb, attain peace, from the pangs of material miseries. It's correct in the book? Okay, so they just made a mistake when they transcribed it for the Veda base. Simply by understanding these three facts, that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of the entire creation, and that he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, and that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything, one becomes peaceful and happy. For this transcendental happiness, the living entity has wandered throughout the universe in different forms of life and different planetary systems. But because he has forgotten his intimate relationship with Vishnu, he has merely suffered life after life. Therefore, the educational system in the human form of life should be so perfect that one will understand his intimate relationship with God or Vishnu. Every living entity has an intimate relationship with God. One should therefore glorify the Lord in the adoration of Shantarasa, or revive his eternal relationship with Vishnu as a servant in Dasya Rasa, a friend in Sakya Rasa, a parent in Vatsalya Rasa, or a conjugal lover in Madhurya Rasa. All these relationships are on the platform of love. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter 25, text 38. So who's speaking there? Yes, Lord Kapiladev, that form of the Lord. Yesha mahang priya atma sutash cha sakha guru surido daiva mishtam. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the super soul, son, friend, and guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is the perfection of life and the perfection of education. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prishtaya bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauramani Pacharini Nirvishesha Srinivani Pasachacha Deshtarini Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshri Vishavanu Sutte Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhya Shakripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishyavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prahlad Maharaj is continuing to instruct us through his classmates, and we should appreciate his teachings and pay very, very close attention to what he's saying, because he's not an ordinary five-year-old boy. Ordinary five-year-old boys may sometimes say something witty, maybe even pithy. Like I remember once I was visiting my former extended family in Bosnia, and so Damayanti's brother, Armini, has two sons. At that time, that was like 2008, I think. Emir was about 10, 11, and the young one, Dino, was about 5. So we were all together in the family room, and you know, the adults are talking about, normally what adults talk about, work and how the government changing the policies is going to affect work and this and that. And Dino, being a little troublesome boy, his mother had sat him down and given him a cup of pudding. So he ate a few spoons, and he's listening to the conversation of the adults, and he said, just off the top of his head, Prem Sankirtan will understand right away. He said, Mani Rade Vishya Pudding. You understand, Razamesh? Mani Rade Vishya Pudding. It means less work, more pudding. So all the adults started cracking up. You know, they're cogitating about how this, you know, government is going to affect their work schedule and this and that. And he just said, less work, more pudding. So sometimes a five-year-old boy will say something that, you know, adults think is interesting, but generally speaking, not. But Prahlad Maharaj is not an ordinary five-year-old boy. He's speaking exactly the absolute truth as is handed down in the cyclic succession, which is also very important. Because sometimes being conditioned souls with still probably a very large vein of the cheating propensity in our makeup, we come in contact with the absolute truth and then we twist it and bend it to our own understanding, and then we teach others in this twisted and bent way. So Prabhupada would always warn against that. The spiritual master, the acharya, is supposed to be transparent by a medium. In other words, whatever is coming down should come through transparently. No addition, no adulteration, no subtraction. Not easy to do when you're a conditioned soul, because our natural tendency is that we want to be glorified. And therefore we post ourselves, based on our cheating propensity, as life coaches. Many people have that title nowadays, they're life coaches. Ask them, what is life? What is the meaning of life? What is the goal of that? They can't tell you, but still they're life coaches. That's cheating. That's cheating. But it's not just a recent phenomenon. It's been going on since time immemorial. So many scientists talk about origins and life, and they have no idea. And when you corner them, like Bhakti Swarup Damodar did when he was in school, Prabhupada was very proud of him. He said to the scientists, so-called Nobel laureates, if I gave you all the material ingredients, would you be able to create life? And their honest answer was, that we cannot say. So then why are you speaking then? Why are you posing yourself as teacher? Why are you postulating all these theories and suppressing other theories? If you're on the level of theorizing, then all theories should be thrown out in the marketplace and considered. But no, they're still theorizing and they want to suppress all other theories, especially the God theory. We don't want to hear that one. We just want to tell you what we think is the facts are. So this is cheating. This is cheating. And as aspiring Vaishnavas, aspiring assistant preachers, we should be very careful about this. Don't twist the philosophy. Don't adulterate the philosophy. Don't subtract from it. Just present it as it was given to you. So this is Prahlad's first qualification, is that he's not twisting what he heard from his guru. Exactly as he heard, he's teaching his classmates. Exactly what he heard. So these series of verses are so, so important for us to meditate on. Who is Prahlad's guru? Narada Muni. And who's his guru? Huh? Lord Brahma, yes. When Narada Muni appeared, or shortly after he appeared, he approached Lord Brahma. You may remember earlier in the Bhagavatam. He said, Deva Deva Jagat Dhatur, Bhuta Bhavana Purvaja, Tadvajani Hyajganam, Atma Tattva Nidarshanam. Very important verse, because he's setting the example that you don't speculate about how things are. He approached Lord Brahma and asked him. He said, Deva Deva, O Lord of the demigods, Jagat Dhatur, the sustainer of the entire universe, Bhuta Bhavana, the one who's producing, apparently, so many living entities, Purvaja, you're unborn from our vision because we don't see you have any mother or father. Tadvajanihi Ajganam, please teach me that knowledge, Atma Tattva Nidarshanam, which gives darshan, or information, of the Atma, the situation of the soul, the self. So he's asking. He knew Narad Muni is on the spiritual platform completely. He doesn't have to ask anybody anything. But again, he's setting the example that don't speculate, which is our natural tendency. We look up at the sky and we wonder what's out there, and then we take the speculation. Or we create imperfect instruments to try to give us information instead of trying to find somebody who already knows. But Atmanamanyatejagat, I feel if I don't know, then nobody else knows. So I should go and figure it out. This is a general tendency. But Prabhupada would remind us, just because you don't know, that doesn't mean that nobody knows. So inquire, ask, is there anybody who knows? Maybe you'll find out that there is. Well, you'll find, yes, there are many people who say they know, and then you'll have to compare what they say they know compared to what other people say they know and see what makes more sense to you. So there is some room for using your logic and your intelligence, but ultimately, by your logic and your intelligence, you're not going to discern the absolute truth. It has to be handed down in the Supuk succession. So Lord Brahma passed on the knowledge to Narada Muni. Narada Muni, in turn, passed it on to so many important personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, like Dhruva Maharaj, like Vyasadeva himself. As we know, Vyasadeva had codified this Vedic knowledge, which previously was just handed down in an oral tradition. So he had codified it and, you know, put down the knowledge in written form, but he was not feeling very satisfied, and he couldn't figure out why. He was despondent. So his guru, Narada Muni, being all-knowing, Sri Kalagya, he appeared on the scene to tell him what to do. And that series of verses in the fifth chapter, I think, of the first canto, very, very important. He starts out, Idami Vishva Tapasa, no, Idami Vishva Bhagavani Vetaro, Yatoja Gatstanam Naroda Sambhava, I'm forgetting the last line. But he said, the Supreme Personality of God, it is Himself, this cosmos. From Him only comes the creation, maintenance, and destruction of everything. He says, your good self knows all of this. I am just giving you a synopsis. So, this is the point. And this is why we see Prahlad is completely unafraid of the dangers that he's been put into, and he continues to preach. You know, they've tried to kill him at this point already. They've tried to kill him in so many ways, and he's still preaching. He's not giving up. So he's a very determined 5-year-old boy. Why is he so determined? Why is he so unafraid? Because the pure devotees know this verse. They know the purport of that verse that Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadeva. Idami Vishvas Bhagavani Vetaro. I'm mixing it up with the next verse, because the next verse is Idami Vishva Tapasa Chutasiva Shustasya Shuktasya Chabudi Datayo. Anyway, so in the previous verse, he's saying to Vyasadeva that the Supreme Personality of God is Himself this cosmos. In other words, when we look out, we see all these material manifestations, we're bewildered. We're attracted by some things, repelled by other things. But the pure devotees, when they look, they see Krishna. That's what they see. That's why Prabhupada reminded us once. He said, I wasn't there, but I've heard it repeated many times. He said, you may think you're sitting on the floor, but I know I'm sitting on Krishna. So when the pure devotees look out in the world, they see Krishna, their beloved, and therefore they're not afraid. They're not afraid of anything. All they see is Krishna. Every living entity is an emanation from Krishna. All the material energies emanation from Krishna. Krishna's in control of everything. So they're not afraid. It's not just some act that Prahlad is putting on here, that he's, you know, gritting his teeth and hoping that they won't try again. No. He's completely fearless because he's on the spiritual platform. And therefore, for him, everything is Krishna's energy, and he's not afraid of anything. Prabodhananda Saraswati also gives that hint in that verse, Kaivalyam Narakayate Chudasapu Akasha Pushpayate Durdam Tendriya Sarpakala Pataye Purkata Dangstrayate Vishram Purna Sukayate Vidimahindra Adishakitayate Yat Karuna Kataksha Vaivavatam Tam Gorame Vastamat. That verse also gives a hint that when you have received the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya, then these are the indicators, and one of them is Vishvam Purna Sukayate. Those who are on the material platform, they're seeing the world as being happiness and distress, duality. But for those who are on the spiritual platform, Vishvam Purna Sukayate. They only see happiness here. Again, so being on that platform, Prahlad is not bewildered and he's not afraid of his father. And therefore he keeps preaching. You know, you can't imitate that. You can't imitate that. Sometimes devotees are put on the spot. Shut up or we're going to kill you. What are you going to do? Are you on the platform of Prahlad where you're going to keep preaching, or are you going to be quiet? You know, only you know that when time comes, and it may come. You know, because when the material ministers get cranked up, the demons, they attack the devotees. It's just natural. We've seen it happen so many times. Like in, you know, former USSR, so many devotees were tortured, some of them killed because they wouldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. So if we're put in the same situation, will we stop chanting or will we continue chanting? Think about it. Now, one who's actually a devotee, there's no question. They're going to continue their devotional practices regardless of whoever is threatening them or whatever. You just can't give up. But again, it's not something that one can imitate. One has to actually feel that protection of Lord Nrisimhadev, especially. And Prahlad will remind us of that later on. Coming up pretty soon, that verse, Balasya Neham Sharanam Pitaro Nrisimha, that, you know, if you have rejected someone or you don't accept them, then it doesn't matter what they do in this world. They won't find any protection, no Sharanam. And he gives that example, Balasya Neham Sharanam Pitaro. Pitaro means mother and father. So the child, the mother and father naturally, at least formally, nowadays maybe not so much, do their best to protect the child, but in spite of that, their efforts, the child may still die. You have no guarantee. And then he gives the example of a person who's sick and they give medicine. Even the best physician and the best medicine, there's no guarantee they're going to survive. Or somebody who's on the ocean, you may be a very strong swimmer, you may even have a nice boat, but again, there's no guarantee you're going to survive. Many, many very big, powerful boats have gone under. So the only real shelter is Lord Nrisimhadev. That's the point Prahlad is making. And if, again, being aspiring preachers, we're always encouraged to take shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev especially. So whenever we're out preaching and the difficulties come, just chant, Jai Nrisimhadev. So many Nrisimha mantras are there. And in the Nrisimha Kavacha, Lord Nrisimhadev is mentioned as Deva Varado. Previously, so many people, they go to the demigods. Like on Sunday, Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and he was saying, you know, they bother the demigods. They're always praying, you know, Tanam Dehi Rupam Devi. Like Kama and I looked at each other, we were laughing. Because Prabhupada was saying, Dehi Dehi, they're just simply bogging the demigods. You know, forgive me this, give me that, give me wealth, give me strength, give me money, give me a good wife, give me, give me, give me, give me. But the devotee of the Lord knows that the Lord is Deva Varado. The devas go to the Lord for benefits. So why should you pray to the devas for benefits if they have to go to the Lord to get benefits for themselves? Benediction. You go to the Lord directly. And in India, right, there's Varadaraj, right? One of the names of Balaji, Varadaraj. Yes, Didi. He's known as the king or the best giver of benedictions. So why go anywhere else for your benediction? Go straight to the Lord and ask whatever you want. Akama Sarvakamova, Prophet mentioned that also in the Sunday lecture. So whatever platform you're on, you know, you don't try to imitate a higher platform. You have to be honest. One of the prime, one of the best ways to make advancement in spiritual life is always know where you are. Then you know what you can aspire for. If you pretend to be on a higher platform than you are, you'll fall down. Basically, generally, that's what happens. If you pretend to be on a higher platform than you are, you'll fall down. Just like that devotee who went to Prabhupada and asked permission to just live in a tree and chant Hare Krishna all day. Prabhupada knew he was a neophyte, but he said, okay, go. So he did it for some time, and then he had to come down and, you know, go change ashram or something. You can't imitate Haridas Thakur or some more advanced devotee. Just have to know where you are and act accordingly and desire accordingly. Like when somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed for a Vishnu, so I'm a householder, can I do? No. Who are you? First deserve, then desire. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a pure devotee, so he could pray for a ray of Vishnu to appear in his family. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta appeared. But as ordinary householders, just chant your 50 rounds and hope for the best. You know, it's not within your, you know, if you're not on that platform to desire to have a ray of Vishnu as your son. So Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are extremely, extremely important. This chapter that we're going through, we should really try to focus on. Tomorrow's verse is one of the powerful ones. So come in, you come die to day yogi in a day. So it's just one powerful verse after another coming up in this section. And we should really, really listen carefully and take it seriously. And I'll end on this verse from the second canto, where it says that Shrimatam Sharaya Nitya Grinatascha Sachesitam Kalena Natagiridena Bhagavan Vishate Rada. That for one who's hears the Bhagavatam constantly, Shrimatam Sharaya Nitya, with faith, Grinatascha Sachesitam, and takes the matter very seriously, Kalena na atidirgena, in very, very little amount of time, Bhagavan Vishate Rada, the Supreme Lord will appear in his heart. So this is what we want. We want the Lord. He's already there. We just have to make the right situation for him to become fully manifest. And what is that right situation? Purity. Purity of purpose, purity of execution, pure life. If we live a pure life, Krishna himself says, first of all, you control your mind and then you'll hear me. Because he's always speaking to everybody. But according to what they want to hear, based on their situation. The thief wants to hear that, forget the security cameras, just go and grab it and go, run. Foolish. And then they get caught and they wonder why. But the devotee wants to hear how to execute devotional service properly for the pleasure of the Lord, Guru and Krishna. That's what the devotee wants to hear. So Krishna will tell you, if that's what you want to hear, how to execute your service properly for the satisfaction of your spiritual master and Krishna, then Krishna will tell you, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. But generally speaking, when we're in the mixed stage, sometimes we want to hear that, and sometimes we want to hear how we can take time off and relax. But for the pure devotees, they're always relaxed. There's no question of vacation. They're always relaxed. Again, because Vishram Purna Sakayate, they see nothing but happiness, even in this miserable place. Because they're simply in one of these rasas, and they're simply enjoying at every moment. And that enjoyment process has been made very easy for us. We don't have to scratch our minds or brains about how to do, what to do. Just chant. Everything is there in the Mahamantra. Just chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We don't have to try to be shloka wallas. Sometimes people say, how many verses do you? I don't know how many verses I have. It doesn't matter. I know I don't know all the verses. There are 108 Upanishads. How many verses are in those 108 Upanishads? There's actually a list in the Mahabharata that tells you how many verses in each of them. Then there is the Mahabharata itself, 100,000 shlokas. Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas. Bhagavad Gita, 700. If somebody knows all of those, God bless them. But it's not really necessary. Try your best to learn and keep hearing constantly every day. And whatever sticks, sticks according to your capacity. For some it will be a lot, for some not so much, but it doesn't matter. As long as you stick to the process and you make the effort, you will be rewarded accordingly. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Subhas Prabhu.
Hi, thank you for a nice class. When you were speaking, it kind of reminded me of something I was hearing in a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And there's this sense of entitlement. Papa gives examples how a person can be born into a family of brahmanas, and although they don't execute the activities of a brahmana, they consider themselves to be a brahmana. So we ourselves in Krishna consciousness, we shouldn't feel this sense of entitlement. Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this Krishna conscious movement. He gave us a formula. And in order for us to experience that Krishna consciousness, that state of happiness and ecstasy, it cannot be there just from entitlement, that we just, we've come into this movement and we put on a dhoti or a sari, and we look like a devotee, but we don't execute. And if we don't execute, then we won't get the real benefit of the process itself. Just like we see Srila Prabhupada, although he was a pure devotee of the Lord, he chanted 16 rounds daily. We see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the Supreme Lord himself, he himself would visit the deity every day. Every day he would visit the deity. And every day he would do some service. And every day he would chant. wherever he went. And he even chanted on his fingers, you know, Prabhupada gives us how he chanted on his fingers every single day, the Maha Mantra. So we ourselves, we shouldn't feel this entitlement just because we've come into the Krishna conscious movement that we're entitled to become a pure devotee of the Lord. It also reminds me of when we were first new devotees, we used to think as householders, and maybe I might be the only one, but we thought if we had children, automatically they would be pure devotees. Automatically they came from the heavens, and automatically they were going to be pure devotees. But now here, 35 years later, we realize that's not really true. That's not really what it was. So to get the benefit of Krishna consciousness, we have to stop feeling this entitlement, but we have to do the work. We need to do the work every single day of our life. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he did the work every single day. And that famous pastime Sergio always mentions in his Bhagavatam classes previously, how Prabhupada was in New York coming down the elevator, and there Prabhupada made that comment, that I want to fight for Krishna with my last breath. And then we see him, Prabhupada, if you watch that video, with his last breath, he was still preaching Krishna consciousness. So if we want Krishna consciousness, we have to make this kind of decision. We can't be just in the standing on the edge, you know. Instead of jumping into the water, we're on the side of the pool or we're on the bank. But we all have all intention. But that intention isn't going to work unless you actually jump into the pool and start swimming. So we need to understand this more and more. We're not, just because we're devoted, we're not entitled to become a pure devotee. We actually have to do the work.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. We don't have classes regularly on the Nectar of Devotion, but it's so important to read that book. Because if you read the Nectar of Devotion, then you understand that bhakti is in two stages. There's a sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, and then there's raganuga bhakti, where you do it spontaneously. So the pure devotees are on the raganuga platform. Everything they do is spontaneous out of love for Krishna. So in the beginning, you can't imitate that, and you can't get frustrated that you're not on the raganuga platform. You just have to keep putting in the sadhana, the practice. The sadhana, the practice. And then gradually, it will transform. It's not a big, all of a sudden one day you wake up and you get hit by lightning and you become a raganuga bhakta. It's everything in devotional life is sandhya, gradual transformation. And that's where we get frustrated. Because when you're going through that gradual transformation, sometimes it doesn't even feel like you're transforming. But you have to keep plugging along and you have to desire strongly. Because wherever your desire goes, then your activity is going to follow. So if we stop desiring to progress in spiritual life from the sadhana platform to the raganuga platform, then we're going to desire something else and then the desire will take us away. So by reading the Nectar of Devotion, one becomes cognizant of the different stages and and what lies ahead. And then one can desire properly to make the next step and the next step. So it's very, very important to read that book. Maybe we should periodically have seminars on it to really drive home the important points of the Nectar of Devotion. But that's the main thing that we should meditate on. That we're going through devotional service and practice with the hope of getting to the Raganuga stage where everything is spontaneous. You don't have to force yourself anymore to do anything because out of love you naturally do it. Naikatma Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. There's a very, really wonderful line in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's purport. He says, one has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship.
Yeah. See, that's the point. But one should understand, and this is the beginning of devotional life, that nothing belongs to you. And this is one of the reasons why the devotees are so happy. When you're a non-devotee or you're in a conditioned state, you're hankering after what you don't have and you lament after what you think you've lost. But the devotees know right away, I don't own anything, so there's nothing to lose. There's no question of losing or gaining. Everything belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service. Everything belongs to Krishna. That means every stitch of cloth that I have, every cup in the closet, everything belongs to Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service. And when we're in the mixed stage, again, sometimes we use the shoes to go to the temple and sometimes we use the shoes to just go down to the beach and chill. You know, we find... But The pure devotees, when they put on their shoes, it's always on a Krishna conscious mission. When they put on the dhoti, it's also always on a Krishna conscious mission. Everything is for Krishna. Because they know thoroughly, I don't own anything. There's no question of owning anything or giving anything, because everything belongs to Krishna. And that, just that fact alone, when you let that sink in, you feel so relieved. You feel so relieved, because you're not in this mood of being acquisitive, of getting more and more and more just for your own sense gratification. Whatever you acquire, you immediately want to know how to use it for Krishna, either directly, or you sell it and take the money and use the money in Krishna's service. But, yes, Savas Prabhu.
He's speaking to Lord Indra, and he was fighting Lord Indra, and he told Lord Indra, he said, "Don't be morose. You know, you may be getting defeated, but a real devotee, whether you're being defeated or you're in victory, a devotee becomes detached, and he just does his activity out of duty." And so Vitrasura was actually preaching to him, you know, don't be morose and don't be happy. Just do your service so that Krishna sees your activity.
Yeah.
And in that way, you become blessed. And Prabhupada said, that should be our motto. This should be the motto of a devotee.
Right.
We shouldn't be morose if we're, you know, losers. Neither should we be elated if we're victors. But we should simply do our duty, and then the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take it from there.
That's right. Thank you very much. All right. Maybe one more. Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Today in India they celebrate the actual day of the Damodar Leela, and it's a Diwali festival. So please, if everyone has any time, to bring some little offering special extra for Damodar, that would be really nice. Thank you.
Hare Bol. All right, go ahead.
You're saying that everything that we see is Krishna. Everything that we see is Krishna. I was just wondering, Are thoughts also Krishna, whether they be material or bad thoughts? Is that also Krishna?
Krishna says that these eight material manifestations are there. Bhumirapano, Vayu, Kang, Mano, Buddhi, Evacha. So the mind is a subtle material energy. There's a gross material energy that we can touch and feel, and then there's subtle material energy, mind, intelligence, ego. That's Krishna says, that's my energy. So Krishna and his energy are in one sense non-different. But we know achintya bheda bheda tattva. Simultaneously one and different. So the material energy is in one sense Krishna, but in the other sense not Krishna. Not chaham tesha vashita, Krishna says in the ninth chapter. That all of these material manifestations, they're me, but they're not me. So, but we should see them as Krishna's property. That's how we should see them. Anything that comes your way, whether living or non-living, inert or moving, Krishna, Krishna's property, Krishna's material energy, Krishna's spiritual energy motivating this particular body, and we should act accordingly. We should try to always Krishnaize every situation. So even for the insects, we do our best not to kill them, because they're living entities. Krishna's, and the super soul is there witnessing everything that happens. So the devotee, being conscious of that, tries to act properly at every moment. Rantarashima Bhagavatam Kijai, Srila Prabhupada Kijai.